gentlemen. I declare the airport committee meeting for Wednesday, the 4th of February, opened at 12:35. And with that, I acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people, the leaders past, present and future who have in the past and will continue to contribute to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. Thank you very much for your attendance today. Item 3, recordance of attendance. We have those around the table. 3.2, apologies. We have Mayor Kelly Howlett, and I believe we received an email apology from Flo Bennett today. Are there any other apologies to be added? No? Right, we'll move on to item 3.3. Approved leave of absence, there are nil. Item 4, responses to previous questions. 4.1, responses to questions from the public at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 3rd of December, there was nil. There was 4.2, questions from a committee member at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 3rd of December 2014. Councillor Gillingham, are we satisfied with your responses there as attached?
The first response I'm very happy with. The second response regarding when I was a presiding member, it's not actually given me an answer because a no vote was recorded during the voting procedure. Walga has told me through the process should not have proceeded when there was a no vote. So I'd still like that to be looked into more, and I did speak to Mr. James McGovern on the phone. I didn't actually get an email from James McGovern. I spoke to him verbally. I will see if I can get a letter from him regarding the clarification of that, as he's the head of governance. But because a no vote was recorded. Also, at that time, I'm quite sure the council admin staff will remember that I did ask for guidance around the table. I was not given any guidance, as it was the first time I was actually a presiding member in that position. I was not given any guidance on to say that I should have, one, said that there was a discrepancy and that the vote should have been taken again, and two, therefore, I had a casting vote. So that's the clarification I got from Walga. There's nothing in here that reflects that, and I did actually reflect that in my speech, so I'm not happy with that. Okay, answer there. So thank you.
Councillor Gillingham. I will draw your attention to the fact that the town did receive advice from Mr. Vern McKay.
Yes, I gave that advice.
And the town, in its position, considers that the minutes of the October airport meeting truly and accurately do reflect the meeting's proceedings. But I'm happy to take your further questions on notice and refer them back to governance. So if that's okay, Joe, I will refer the matter back on to... Peter? Yep.
I'll look through the chair, happy to take that on board. I guess in terms of the... issues from the October meeting, I mean, given that the meeting minutes have been confirmed by the airport committee at a subsequent meeting, it's difficult to actually revisit those minutes. So I guess to reaffirm what the coordinator of governance has provided in terms of training as far as meeting procedure and adherence to standard orders, I think that's obviously something that will continue to be developed within the elected member group. So.
Thank you. Okay, item 5, public time. Okay, I just have a brief note to read. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Okay, 5.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 12:40. Are there any public questions? No public questions. I declare public question time closed at 12:40. Public statement time, 5.2, public statement time. I declare public statement time opened at 12:41. Are there any public statements? There being nil, I will declare public statement time closed at 12:41. Okay, moving on to item 6, questions from members without notice. Councillor Hoover.
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Hunt.
I'm just going to ask a question on behalf of Councillor De Cash, who isn't here, not a member, but on numerous occasions he has mentioned about or questioned about the luggage handling and, about it being thrown, that's probably your area here, being thrown from the plane to the thingy and the thingy to the belt, everything. But I myself was out at the airport on Sunday and saw the little trolley thing come and left a trail of suitcases across the tarmac, of which I've got a photo of if you wish to see. But can I just ask that perhaps either training or something, someone look into to that?
Sure. Thanks, Phil. That's a really relevant question. I'm going to throw that to the manager of operations to follow through with. Would that be right, or do I throw that to you to follow up?
I'll throw it to me to follow up.
Okay.
What I'll do is I'll follow up with Northwest Aviation Services just to, if you could forward me the photo.
Yeah.
To, I'll liaise with Eleanor anyway.
Okay. Thank you. Anything
it's not
else?
Funny.
No.
If that was your suitcase,
well,
you would be laughing.
Just on that basis, just for your. Some of that is why we're changing the format and the template of the airport meeting agenda to contend with those types of issues that really this committee should be involved in trying to get a higher standard and a higher perception of what our airport is about. So thank you for that. That's very good. Brett?
I just had one. I've been having a quick look at our website, Port Hedland website, and I noticed that the last update we had on there for the renovations was 24th of October last mm-hmm. year, and I think we've had a pretty major milestone recently when we opened up the new cafeteria area and things like that. So I think things such as that, whether we should celebrate those
should
a little bit
fair.
More. So, I looked at a couple of other websites around Australia for regional airports as well, and Karratha, I had a look at theirs, and they're really focused on their artist impressions about what's happening at their airport. And I suppose, again, celebrating what's going to happen. They've also included a fly-through. I don't think that's something like that's necessary, but I thought, they're really celebrating that, what they're trying to achieve at their airport. And I look at another one, Newcastle Airport. They've only got a $14.5 million upgrade, yet, again, it's plastered all over their website saying, hey, look at this, look at what we're doing to our airport. Again, I don't think a fly-through, but just regular updates may be necessary because, again, it's a really a good thing to show. I think it's a major project for the town, and I think it really shows a good news story. It's the town's evolution to a city. I'm guessing that when we get some schematics in for some of the extensions, we'll get some good drawings that we can possibly put up there at that stage. The other thing I noticed, there's a couple of things that are a bit outdated on there, as well as, one thing I actually couldn't get on was the What's On events.
So just before you do that, so I'm assuming your question is that you want, at the next meeting, to discuss the marketing strategy and the communication strategy and the website details.
Yep.
To be brought to the agenda at the next meeting.
Yes.
So the director will take that on board so that it's on the agenda for the next meeting to discuss and review that.
Yep, and the other one, can someone have a look at some of the sections in there? The What's On events just goes file or direction not found, mm-hmm. and we've still got, on the dining out section, we've got Shana's Cafe, and under accommodation we've still got Beachfront Village.
Yeah, cool. So with that, there would be an action to be brought back that those website details be updated, including, I believe, the phone number. If I can just add that
yes.
the phone number advertised actually takes you to Port Haven, not Port Hedland Airport. So, and that's been noted before. So perhaps we want to see an action register come to the come to the committee as well?
Through the chair, we do have our manager of corporate information sitting in the gallery, and I suggest that those comments have been duly noted and will be followed up.
Thank you, Brad. That's really good. Councillor Butson, anything?
Yeah, I have a few questions.
Sure.
Just basically public have come up. Since the new revamp inside the airport, one of the ladies actually said there's actually nowhere for them to change their babies when they've come off the plane, except having to go right through security. So I don't know if anything's going to be planned for the other side, that when people are coming in on the plane and need to change their baby with something on the other side instead of having to go all the way through security.
Can Janella just answer?
Yeah, through the chair, if I may, we are looking at putting a baby change table in the disabled toilet that's just short of going into the departures area. It is quite a small area in there, and it's probably the only area we can fit it in, so we just have to make sure we're getting the right compliance measures so that it still complies as a disabled toilet as well as functioning for the baby change as well.
Just number two, just wondering.
Sorry, Councillor. Do we have a timeline on that? Because I'd like to get, when we say we're looking at it, I'd like to get some, you know, clarification.
Pending
on
the availability of the actual piece of furniture to be installed, I would say within the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks.
Number two, I was just going to ask when the doors were going to be fixed. Or apparently there's a guard on the doors, the new doors, are they fixed yet?
You mean the auto-opening
yes.
doors? I might defer that to...
Yeah, if I may. We are looking at that holistically with our whole security and access arrangements throughout the terminal. So that's another project that's on the list for this financial year. So we want to make sure that the hardware that's on those doors actually do comply with the new security and access arrangements we want through the whole terminal. So I guess that's a bit more of a long-term, within the next kind of 6 months kind of project. We are looking at other options at the moment to actually make that work better in the meantime, like a push button system.
Mm-hmm.
The doors at the moment can be opened manually.
Mm-hmm.
They are a little bit heavy, so we're really looking at from a, you know, mums with prams or a limited mobility perspective to have a push button on there. The issue is more if people then want to try and come the other way while the doors have been opened by people, you know, going the correct way. So that's predominantly why the security guard is on there at the moment. But now that things have settled down, we've got to look at other arrangements for that.
And the other question I was going to actually have, instead of actually like the security staff being approached, is there any suggestion where we could have a box put that people can sort of put maybe suggestions or complaints into at the airport to review weekly or...?
I'm happy to answer that one, Councillor Buxton. That suggestion has been made, and it is something that I believe Nathaniel will have as part of his duty, because that was made some time ago, that there be a suggestion box, but I think there was some security issue involved with that.
There was. We actually had the suggestion box sitting in the operations building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were some security concerns around the suggestion box, so the option would be to go for a Perspex see-through suggestion box.
Anything else?
No, that's it then.
Okay, thank you. Jason?
The Poral website's going to get another question. I'll just, after last week's sort of issues around all the different flight delays coming from a service provider, we had a lot of people coming through that had no idea what was going on at the airport. Obviously, the airport number was quite difficult to get a hold of. There's probably half the time calling. There was no information about the flights being delayed. They were saying every flight was on time, which obviously passing that information on to people through the hotel became frustrating for them. And noting that the Perth website said the same thing, all the flights are on time. But I thought there could be something, an update on our website saying, look, there are some weather conditions in Perth and it is causing delays. We don't know what the delays are, but at least some small piece of information for people to check on. And to just follow updates with the airlines.
Yeah.
There was nothing there at all.
So I'm assuming that you're wanting more up-to-date information.
Correct.
So the question would be, is that possible? And I'm happy to throw that to the Director of Communications, who is raising her hand up. Not the Manager of Communications. I've just given you a promotion, Emma.
Just in terms of the website, my understanding is that the flight information display system is updated from the grant, the
I can really reiterate that, yeah, the process is that the ground handlers have access to the flight information displays. They update those, and then it's automatically updated to our website. So, yeah, we can follow up with Northwest Aviation Services to find out what is the issue and why aren't they updating that information on a more regular basis.
So just to further that discussion, is there anything that we can do to improve that, you know, to ensure that that does happen? Will somebody at the airport, is that, I just want to sort of understand whose action that would be somewhere in the organisation that ensures that that happens. So would that be Nathaniel's? That would be yours? So you would...
Through the chair, I have noticed going through previous emails that Perth Airport Qantas supply updates on information. It would come down to the access that we have to the website and how we can do that. So if we get notified through Perth and through the emails that we do receive or have been receiving anecdotally, we should be able to put something in place, but not anything official, just saying there are some delays, please contact the rail line. Until we get the official notification through the system.
That's great. Satisfied with that, Jase? Anything else?
And one more, just is there a code of conduct that any of the companies, rental car companies or anyone, have to sign for their staff within the airport in regards to dress standards? Or, and I'll give an example, there's nothing better than when you walk through and you've got people in certain companies' shirts with ripped jeans sort of slobbing around out the front, cigarettes hanging out the mouths. It kind of, I don't know, it's not a good look for the airport, I wouldn't think, but...
So, do you want to be specific so that we can attend to it? Is it town stuff?
Yeah, no, Hertz.
Hertz stuff.
They're the shirts I notice them, I notice them most regularly. Mm-hmm. Ripped jeans and jandals, or thongs for the Australians.
So my understanding is there is a user term and conditions of use which has now been produced by Arpeda. So would that cover that?
Not quite. It does cover, through the chair, it does cover uniforms and appearance and presentation at the airport, but it's actually an aeronautical document, so it's more around airline and ground handling operators and their presentation and being in uniform. So there's sections in there about presentation and about maintaining a reasonable standard. So that document is an overarching terms of use for the airport. So there is that document. In terms of actual agreements with the rental car companies, no, there wouldn't be anything like that in place at all. They would have a standard airport lease with us for the space that they use, and we would expect they would maintain their own standards through their own policies and procedures. But we could certainly raise the matter with Hertz and note the particular issue and ask them how they plan to address it.
A little bit of photographic evidence
is always good.
Yeah.
So perhaps then that becomes another item for our actions register, and that becomes an assignment that we will give to Nate. Is that all right? So I'm sure you'll be able to communicate that to Hertz. Sorry, Director?
And through the chair, I think in terms of our engagement of contractors as well, we can certainly build that into requirements that they actually sign a code of conduct. So contractors are required to provide evidence of insurance, so as an extension to that, we could then also look at documentation as far as code of conduct and practice.
Yep, I'm happy with that. Okay, anything else, Jess? Fantastic, thank you. Jan?
Yes, I was going to ask about the signs on the new doors, if I may, regarding the similar to what Councillor Butson has asked, and are all the signs now in place? Because there was a bit of confusion when it was all open to the going to the cafe, etc.
Thank you, Jan. I'll direct that to you.
Direct that to the program
manager. Sure.
Through the chair, we have put up some new signs now about no entry, nice big red signs, no entry into the back pass doors. And we did have some signs out trying to direct people through. They were just temporary signs at the time to direct people through to the screening point. But again, I think it does come back to us doing a little bit more promotion, particularly on our website, on how the new area functions. Admittedly, it will take time for some people to get used to it as well. It's quite a significant change to how everybody has been used to going through the terminal. So separate to that, we are looking at, I guess, the signage and wayfinding information through the whole terminal as a separate project as well.
If I can also add to that and just say that, just as an aside note, finally the coffee station is up and running, and so that going through to the secure area, you don't have to go through if you don't need to be in a secure area now to get a coffee. And because there was some issues that they had themselves with the setup of their cart, that's all finally been fixed. And I experienced my first cup of coffee there coming in this week, and it was doing a very brisk trade at the time.
Great. Sorry, anyway.
I just have two more short ones,
sure.
If I may. So what I wanted to ask, Madam Chair, is that the exit now for the internationals, is that now coming through a new area next to our airport building, our admin building? Is that happening at the moment, or is that something that will happen?
Thank you. I will refer that to the Director of Redevelopment.
Yep, thank you, Chair. The exit is currently where it is today. It has slightly changed in terms of the way you used to come into the terminal and walk through the terminal. Mm-hmm. But now that that's a secure area, you still exit out of the same secondary examination area.
Mm-hmm.
You still come out through those doors, but you now come through a hallway and an airlock, and you pop out next to the external cafe area.
Yes.
And you walk around and take that crosswalk across the road there. So
yeah.
That's in place now.
So what I wanted to add to that, if I may, have a number of people saying to me when they're going to meet people, they don't have any particular signage to say where they can actually meet their international passengers. So could I ask for an update on what's happening there?
Director, can we do something about that?
I think that's something we'd need to attend to. It would be the answer to that. I don't think we have any additional signage planned,
yeah.
But we can certainly look into that.
Yeah.
So. Just for clarification's sake, Councillor Gillingham, when you say there's nowhere for people to wait for...
No, they didn't know where to meet their passengers because they didn't know where they which exit they came out.
Okay. So maybe at the front of the terminal you show international arrival...
With an arrow on the floor or something like that, you know?
So if we were to do that, would that be something that would happen... Who would we allocate that to, Director? And when do you think that might occur?
We'd probably allocate that project to Nat again, just to look at, if that's okay with you, Nat. But probably Helen Taylor, one of the project team, would probably source the signage potentially, do you know?
Yeah, through the chair, we can actually arrange some signage fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Just to show where they need to go. I guess longer term, when we're looking at the next stage of the international expansions towards the end of the year, having that completed, that will actually introduce a completely new area and a much nicer, I guess, arrivals area for international guests.
So if I can just build on that too, because of those, we're in that interim period, the wayfinding and the signage will be rebranded, heavily branded to the new signage. So I guess it's just trying to find the budget to do something interim. So I'm sure Nate can organise something with the assistance of the program.
Oh, thanks, Madam Chair. I know that because the international airport, the planes only come in sort of infrequent compared to the domestic. I guess it's just maybe a stand-up sign or something that, as you said, it could be something that could happen really quickly. Yeah, that'd be good.
Excellent.
And my last one is on the ABC radio yesterday morning, there was quite a bit of talk back on Bali flights to and from Port Hedland. And I don't know whether, I think Julie, Councillor Hunt's there nodding ahead, but are you about that?
Yeah, I was following it as well.
And so it was quite interesting. I was just wondering, did any feedback come back from that? Because there's a lot of people complain that their flights had been cancelled or they'd have to change days, etc.
Go via Melbourne, 19-hour flight from Bali to Port Hedland.
Yes, they were changed flights and etc. So I was just wondering if there was any feedback on that, Madam Chair.
So I might direct that to the director here.
No, I haven't had any feedback on that whatsoever, but I can add that the services will change, subject to us meeting Virgin Australia's and the Border Agency's requirements, will change on the 4th of April to an open RPT service. So any issue around charter availability should evaporate in effect. We're having a much larger aircraft service in that route, and the options, I guess, to fly to and from and into and out of Port Hedland will be a lot more flexible for passengers. I can't comment on cancelled services. It could have been an aircraft availability issue, serviceability issue, or some such matter like that, which meant that they had to accommodate the passengers in another fashion. I'm a little surprised that they'd be flying via Melbourne or somewhere like that, only because it's a closed charter service and they have to fly into and out of Bali from Port Hedland.
Can I just
explain?
What I believe had happened is people had booked their flight out on a Saturday and back on a Sunday, which was your closed charter service. And then what I'm led to believe is that Virgin have said, well, we're not flying back into Port Hedland on a Sunday. They've stopped that. But in the meantime, these people have booked their flights.
Yes.
And so they've just redirected them to get back to Port Hedland. But they haven't actually told them. So they're rocking up on the at the airport in Denver with their ticket, and they're putting them on the plane, and that's the way they're getting back to Port Hedland. I'm thinking, is that how?
Okay. Yes.
So, with that in mind,
they haven't been informed. Yes.
That's really good feedback. Perhaps what we can do is at your meeting with Virgin Australia, we could bring that up.
Yeah.
And perhaps they could give us an answer as to whether that's expected to occur.
I think it's only...
It could have just been a while.
Those tickets have been sold until it goes to the Saturday to Saturday.
Let's get some answers back from Virgin, and you can bring that to the committee. And then, because 19-hour flights from Bali is pretty much unacceptable, we could probably get to LA for just as long. So let's make that a valid...
That had been raised on Facebook as well, and provable plane were telling people that the Sunday that was going to be the case forever now.
All right. Well, let's. If that is the case, then perhaps we need to be on the front foot, and we need to advise passengers that they should check with the airlines, because that might be the case, so that it doesn't come back to Port Hedland. You know, the airport gets a lot of flak for stuff that sometimes. Outside of their control. So let's be on the front foot, and then we can address that before we get the bad publicity.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, is that all?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, I just have one thing to ask, and I know I'll direct that to the Director of Airport Redevelopment with regards to the stained glass. We had an email from a community member who was a little bit scathing of the fact that we hadn't replaced the stained glass. So I then come back to the fact that I don't think we're effectively communicating what is happening out there, because obviously we are replacing the stained glass, but we've still got people who don't know what it is happening out there. So it boils down to our communication strategy. So my question is, could we please respond to the gentleman who I forwarded you the email, I believe, and have we done that already?
Yeah, I can respond to that and say, unfortunately, your emails are blocked to me at the moment, Madam Chair.
Okay.
So I haven't received your email. I have asked that to be fixed, so hopefully that's been fixed. But if you could forward that email to me,
I'll forward the email to the admin assistant, and she can forward it to you. But it'd be nice to respond to the community member and tell them that, yes, indeed, those are very highly valued pieces of the airport to the town of Port Hedland, and we are indeed putting them back. And
perhaps we
have an answer on when that's going to happen, Director? Do we have any idea when that's happening?
I'll defer that to Janora.
Through the Chair, I understand it's imminent, but I'll have to get back to you on the exact time frame. So we did have a couple of week delay over the Christmas period, and then with the contractor extending his leave. So.
Okay, so can we get that information back for the next meeting? And
they're up before the next meeting.
Sorry?
They'll be up before the next meeting.
Well, we're changing the meeting schedules now. There's a proposal to change those. But if we could respond. Okay, thank you. There being no other questions, can I move to item 7? Thank you very much, members. They were really great questions. Item 7, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. I have a show of hands. Let the record reflect. 7. Zip. Item 8, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Item 8.1, confirmation of the minutes of the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 3rd December 2014. Are there any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Second. Thank you, Brad. Don't look at me, Brad. I'll just call your name out. Item 9. Okay, item 9, announcements by presiding member without discussion.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Sorry? Oh, can we have a vote on that, please? All, any against? Let the record reflect 7-0. Thank you, Grace. Okay, item 9. I do have something that I'd like to take up. It's just basically, you've already been advised this morning, I have asked the Director of Airport Redevelopment to revisit the agenda and what we do within the Airport Committee meeting. So, moving into 2015, I'd just like to ask all members to consider the aim and purpose of this committee. And that aim and purpose is to ensure that Port Hedland International Airport is recognised as a leading regional airport in the area of passenger and freight movements and customer satisfaction. So that means that there is a master plan, an airport master plan that's been developed. It's our role to commence implementation of key initiatives that are identified. If I can refer you to page 5, I know we all see this in every airport committee meeting. It's in the front of our agenda, but I really want to highlight you. So on top of that, it's to actively pursue the generation of income from a variety of sources at the airport, including through leases, rental, advertising, freight, and any other means. And then thirdly, to upgrade the terminal facilities to include baggage screening, departure lounges, and other such. Part of the delegation authority we have is to determine whether a tender is required to be sought or not as specified in the local government and FNG regulations 11F, whatever that means, but it is a regulation and we have the delegated authority to call for tenders or if we so require. We also have the delegation to choose tenders for product services on behalf of the local government in accordance with those regulations, LG, FNG Regulation 18. So what I'm asking is that moving into 2015, I would really like the committee to focus on those aims and objectives. As chair, I'm not going to waste the committee's time in deliberating over membership, over other bits and pieces that don't focus our attention on the aims and objectives of this committee. So I implore you all, in 2015, there are a lot of changes, a lot of challenges, and a lot of opportunities that can make this airport be where it should be. And I implore you as committee members to take that on board and focus our attention and energies towards delivering for the town an airport that we, the town of Port Hedland, the community can be proud of and can hold up as an example against other regional airports in Australia. We are very lucky that we have the opportunity in the PACs and the opportunities in the international air freight that we already do. So let's get on to being strategic about communicating effectively, promoting the airport and making it reach the levels it could be. So I'm sure that this committee has the capacity and the experience and the knowledge to deliver effectively those outcomes. So I ask you to get on board and let's work. We've got some things to get through this year and we want to be on top of those. So that's all I've got to say. All right, moving on to item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. Item 10.1, Brett Rees, Program Director, Airport Redevelopment. Brett, let's invite you to tell us what it is.
Well, good afternoon, everyone.
What I'll run through today in my presentation today is the redevelopment strategy and program, which is the key items in there. I'll talk a little bit about the airline redevelopment matters, focus a little bit more on the Virgin, just the layouts, just to give you an update of where that's got to. Infrastructure development, give you an update there, and the airport interim improvement program, and then another projects update. Just noting that there's been a few other projects that don't often get talked about, so we just put a couple of put an extra slide in there just to briefly touch on that. The redevelopment strategy program. The strategy paper that was developed, approved by the Airport Committee and Council mid last year, has a range of programs within it, which includes the interim development strategy, the overarching master plan strategy for the freight logistics zone, airside development, terminal and ground transport, includes the place planning, and then a funding strategy, which revolves around the governance review and the like. The next step in that process is to now confirm some of those timelines. The strategy has been developed based on the principle of implied passenger growth from what we know from when we developed the report, which was the 5% growth going forward for 10 to 20 years, and then looking at the actual CapEx program and how that fitted into the growth of the airport and developing that strategy. So of key importance at the moment is the terminal and when do we do the next stage of developing the terminal. So we want to do an IATA level of service review. International Aviation Transport Association, or airports, whatever it is, review, which will be undertaken when the interim solution, and this is the interim border agency solution, is developed. Once we've got that concept developed, we can then do that review. That review, I have asked Raybine to actually provide a quote to undertake that review. This is the sorts of things that they do, and that puts a lot of science around when the airport needs to grow, based on our expected growth parameters, based on our expected scheduling of services and our peak hour passenger demands. So once we've got that information, we'll know with a great deal of science when we should be developing that airport. Having said that, in the bullet point number two, I am seeking and have received one quote, but I'm seeking two quotations to develop the request for tender document for the terminal design architect to undertake that process. And there's a strategy paper contained within today's agenda, which I'll talk to when we get to that. But suffice to say, we are now looking at least developing up to a schematic stage, the new terminal. So this is the bigger terminal design. And looking at a program and a more accurate budget costing for that new terminal. So schematic design will get us to a point where we will have a great deal of certainty around what the costs and programs will be to develop a new terminal. So that I am now. I'm expecting to get my last quote back from the architects next week. From there, I'll be developing a request for tender document. That request for tender document will then go out to the market, we'll be seeking quotations to do the designs development stage to the schematic drawing stage. Are there any questions on that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering with that, as you're just saying with the thing, is I thought that the actual stuff that we actually did was meant to get us through for the next 4 to 5 years, the money that we've just spent. So when is the intention of building a new terminal?
That's what the ARTA review will tell us.
Especially if we're going to spend that money now. Yeah.
Yeah. So the terminal design stage is probably going to cost around $400,000. It's not a cheap process to get to schematic design. But the intention will be that process is probably going to take... it's in the document. It's probably a 3 month to 6 month process to finalise and get a handle on design. Then you'd need to go to tender... and then you need to get council approval and then build the terminal. The terminal build's probably an 18 month to 2 year process in that timeline. And that this is not suggesting that we are building the terminal inside of 4 years, because the level of service review will tell us when we should be building the terminal. This is to get us to a landing on what we realistically think we're going to build, because we're doing works now without any really clear view of, apart from the high-level design, concept designs that we currently have today, clear view of what the terminal is going to look like. So the feeling was that we really needed to get a great deal more certainty around the ultimate terminal plan, so that stuff that we're planning and building isn't wasted. And we've already started trying to plan for that already, but such that we're developing the terminal in a way that enhances and doesn't impede future development. So this would come back to the committee and to council for consideration once that request for the tender had gone out. Okay. Just in terms of the solar farm, that's been to council a number of times, a couple of times should I say. It went to council in December and got endorsed to proceed with the reduced proposal, the 4 hectare solar farm proposal. That goes to the ARENA board to secure that funding on the 18th of February, and once that funding is approved, we can then go through our final approvals and procurement processes for the solar farm. The intention is, at this stage, at a high level, that the program will see us having that solar farm up and running in early 2016. Is there any questions on the solar farm? Okay, cool. In terms of the freight logistics subdivision, a design review meeting was completed late last year just to finalise any outstanding matters and aspects of that subdivision that may have needed attention. That was completed and final approvals and procurement is looking to start in the March-April period, you know, and with construction commencing in the May-June period. And do you think it's about a 6-month construction program?
Potentially less, yeah, it is just kind of civils and earthworks.
Yep.
I guess I'd comment just to add to that, you know, separately to that, but forming part of the logistics subdivision, is we have a separate RFT out at the moment for the electrical infrastructure for that logistics subdivision, because it actually connects the work that tech services are doing out there now with what's happening across the other side of the runway with their services. So we're moving ahead with that part, even though we still have to then tender for the overall earthworks and other civils for the subdivision to happen around that March-April period.
Just a question, Janelle. The work that tech services are doing out there is to replace the transformers and all of that, and the antiquated stuff, or is that the electrical ring work?
Yeah. So there's a couple of stages to it. There's the electrical ring main, which essentially goes around the whole terminal and I guess airside and landside direct precinct around the terminal. So that upgrades all the power supply to the terminal, the airside lighting, the leasehold tenants and things that are all in that precinct. The next stage then will be to connect through to the logistics subdivision, which will service all of that area, not just for now but also for future growth. And it's also been designed so that the input, I guess, from the solar farm can actually come straight into it. So that's already been incorporated under a design review process we went through. And then from substation 2, which is the logistics one, it'll go over. We have a link to a future potential substation 3, which we don't actually need yet. But that's sitting over near where all the TWA sites are. We're not actually building that, it's just the link to it. And then from there it links over to substation 4, which services air services and all the firefighting and so forth on the other side of the runway. So a complete upgrade.
So just a question relating to the solar farm. Would the solar farm impending approvals coming, would that push back any of the program work for the electricals that we've done?
So all of the
program works need to occur irrespective of whether the solar farm comes or not.
Yeah. So the intention is all the electrical work will be finished by June this year. And all of that can run completely independently of whether the solar farm's connected into it or not. I'm sure it's not this simple, but it's literally, you know, plug in the solar farm and have a metering system set up.
So the infrastructure is still required to be upgraded for the solar farm to feed?
It's already in the design.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just in terms of a quick update on progress on the governance review strategy, the scoping transaction advisor for the scoping study was endorsed and approved in December of last year, and we've moved forward at a pace to begin that review and begin compiling the information. The consultancy contract was executed between ourselves and the consultancy by the 16th of January, and the first working group meeting was held on the 21st of January in 2015. That working group is looking at a series of matters around documentation, financials, environment reports, asset condition reports, and providing all of that into a Dropbox location so that the airport group as an advisory group can start to pull together the reports and pull together the advice on the airport. The steering committee actually had its meeting a day later, which was not ideal. We would prefer to have the steering committee meeting first, but it was just in terms of getting the members together. And the program, the contents of what the scoping study would contain, and the overarching principles and objectives were all tabled and agreed at the steering committee on the 22nd of January. This included actually overview and insight into a passenger survey report that will be undertaken by staff over the next few weeks, which will help inform us of the nature and mix and gender and age of our passengers, so we can start to complete a picture of who's travelling through the airport. This will actually be very, very useful information to us to help explain, I guess, how why the OA Port Hedlands is a more robust airport when compared to other airports in the Pilbara. We're trying to paint a picture in terms of future passenger growth so that we can more accurately predict the future passenger growth going forward.
So, Brett, is the committee able to get a summary of those steering committee meetings?
Yeah. I'm happy to share minutes and such like with the airport committee.
So
thank you. Okay, so if the committee, with the committee's indulgence, if they would like to see the minutes of the steering committee and the working groups, I can have them circulated as and when they become available.
Are you happy with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Fine, thanks, Brett.
No problem. Okay, so passenger surveys are to commence in February, as I just alluded to the passenger surveys, and we actually had a meeting on that today to talk about the nature and approach of that, and we're considering, well, we are going to use particularly iPads connected to SurveyMonkey so we can upload the information straight away, so it's real-time data, and then we'll have a survey company complete an analytical report of that data with a view that we've got the stakeholder workshop, the actual workshop with council in late February, and we want to have as much of that information as possible to present to the workshop for councillors' information. So stakeholder meetings will also be held late in February as well. That'll include meetings with TWAs, mining companies, the port, CM, Chamber of Minerals and Energy, and the like.
And is that meeting going to be held here or in Perth?
No, they'll be held in Perth, I think, at this stage. So those meetings are yet to be organised, but the EAs are coordinating Mal's diary and working with the airport group to establish those meetings so they can take place. Okay, airline developments. There's been a lot of debate about a route development strategy, and I've obtained a couple of quotes now about an overarching strategy that would look at the potential collective people within the Pilbara, and what might be able to be achieved in terms of route potential between different routes actually between airports and different routes across to the eastern seaboard, as well as even existing routes, and how can we encourage the airlines to develop existing routes. That also has a survey component to it as well, and the quotes that I've received and have come back so far to date were quite expensive to actually do that work. They've ranged from $85,000 to $95,000. In terms of the scoping study, it was a bit rich to actually do that kind of detailed analysis at this point in time. Although it was thought, particularly by the steering committee, that it would be a very useful report to go into the data room. So if the council, should council decide to proceed to the next stage, which would be a transaction, a long-term lease transaction, then that then a suitable consultancy would be engaged to undertake that report, and that report would end up becoming data room material.
So, on that question, what was one that we actually approved for to go out to a consultant in December? One where the government was going to subsidise us, that's over in Canberra at the moment.
That's the transaction advisor, so that's that's the airport group. They're producing the scoping study report. And that's the one that's subsidised by through the national regional scheme, the airport regional scheme. In terms of airline engagement, we have engaged both Qantas and Virgin to review and look at corporate packages for the council and councillors. We didn't get a very good proposal from Qantas. We had a proposal. We certainly had discounts offered. But when you factored in the travel agency in that proposal, it was pretty line ball as to whether there was any benefit in it at all. However, Virgin did come back with a state government package, which was reasonably substantial, and that's now been put in place for the town. So the town now has access to a local government discount package for members. Well, for anyone travelling through the council, that can be contractors as well as staff. They have access to that package. The condition on that is it has to be booked through our agent, and then, so you add a fee on that. But because the discounts are reasonable, the airfares end up being cheaper. So that package has been put in place now.
Can I ask who the agent is then that is booked through?
It's Flight. It's
Hello World. Travel agent?
Yes.
Yeah.
So at least we're making use of our local travel.
Yeah, yeah. Flo is aware of it, and she has all the information for now making those bookings and access to that package.
Does that help? May I ask, would that help their business in any way, or is it just does it? I don't know. I don't know how the system goes.
Well, certainly it would mean that the town would be directing more of its travel. We're not obligated to use it, but we will be directing more of our travel through Florence because of the benefits of that discount package. So yes, she would benefit from it, is the short answer. Okay, so we've put in place quarterly relationship meetings with Qantas, Virgin and Air North, and we finally tracked Air North down and had our quarterly relationship meeting with them in January. It was kind of like herding the cats, but we got there in the end. They were actually promising to come up here to do a presentation to the committee on the origins of their airline, their future strategy, who they are and who represents Air North, but they deferred, and so we're hopeful to get them to the next airport committee meeting. We have indicated April, but that may change. But at this stage, a guy named David Gooch, who's their business development manager, said he'd be happy to come up and do presentations to the committee on them as well. And as alluded to by Peter earlier on, those relationship meetings have worked very well and effectively to the point that we were able to resolve these arrears issues and arrears matters. And we do talk to them about route initiatives, fees and charges and a range of matters. And so the next meeting with Qantas is in March. We just need to reschedule one with Virgin as well. Probably do it at the same time. Just in terms of the Virgin International Services, I gave a briefing before and an update. But it's a two-stage process, so we're calling it stage 2 and 3 of the terminal interim plan. So there is stage 2, which is the immediate works we need to do, and then there is stage 3, which is what we'll call the medium-term plan before we build a new terminal. So just to take you through really where we're at, this is just an overview, and it shows all of the operable walls or movable walls. I don't think that one's going to be there, but it still appears on the plans, but it's that we don't need that one anymore. And I'll explain that. The reason we had that wall in there was a contingency plan. If we had international and domestic passengers in the departure lounge at the same time, we wanted to provide a gate to depart domestic passengers. But as it turns out, with our Office of Transport Security approval, we had to segregate the international and domestic passengers. So currently there is no clash in the services. In fact, we approached Qantas to ask them if they could please move one of their services by a half an hour to an hour so that we could better accommodate the Virgin service. And they actually agreed and changed their service. And that's a really rare thing to actually get that to happen. So it's good to see that our relationship with Qantas has really improved and they were able to accommodate us. But essentially that is no longer needed because we have a screening protocol that we put in place for international services, which involves lags, liquids, aerosols and gels. But legally, we can't screen domestic passengers at that security protocol, so we had to separate them because they are two different screening arrangements, and it's primarily around those liquids, aerosols and gels. So what we do is we process everyone through here for the international service, and they queue it, and they sit in the cafe in that area there. So if we have a passengers arriving, they come in through this area here. So if you see this box here, they come in through this area here, track around and come through the primary line modules and then into the baggage reclaim area, pick up their bags and then come into here. So So as soon as they've come through and they've completed that approach, these walls get opened, and this wall through here gets closed, and that gives us 250 square metres of departure lounge space, and then we start processing passengers down through here. There are some toilets just here, so they have secondary toilets to have access to, and then they can depart at boarding time from that process there. That's simply how it's going to work, so it's kind of a tidal flow situation. We are reusing certain areas as for combined departures and arrivals functions. The issue I mentioned before about the baggage reclaim belt, and so the issue around turnaround times, is this area of access just here. So what we're looking at doing is turning that through 90 degrees and putting it in that location there, and that will actually open up all of this space through here. We could even look at taking out that airlock to further open up the space as well within that zone. So as I said, feedback was that that would substantially improve the operation as it is, as compared to what it is today. It's the best way to put that. So the next, are there any questions on any of that? You've seen sort of iterations of this before. Just in terms of highlighting, I guess, the works areas, and I didn't show you before, but where the entries are into the terminal, there are garden beds.
Mm.
And we are now looking to box in those garden beds to provide additional administration and office areas and training rooms. We've had a lot of feedback from Northwest Aviation Services that they don't have sufficient room, and we've looked at accommodating them in various areas on the airport, but nothing's really worked out for them. So we're going to build and rent to them space in here, and we are relocating the Virgin office out of the, because they're now post-screening security, so they have to go through screening every time they want to access their office. So we're going to relocate their office into this location here. That will actually give us, in their existing office, a secondary storage area for the F&B operator, so the food and beverage operator, sorry. So the food and beverage operator will then be able to bring its stock through a novelty period and store it in that storage room, and then come and grab it as it needs it for the cafe. So that's quite a good outcome. In terms of this space in here, this will provide a training room and an office facility for the manager of Northwest Aviation, airport manager of Northwest Aviation Services, in addition to their existing offices. And the only other thing to highlight there is a home for Nat. So we have.
Can I ask how much extra is that going to cost?
I'll have to defer that to.
Apologies, I'd have to check my books. I haven't actually got the answer off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know that at this stage. It's very much secondary to the main project, but while we're in there doing these works, this was an improvement to the terminal that we thought worthwhile doing. Bearing in mind, we will be getting rental returns on at least this middle area of office. This one will be a transfer. And just in terms of the front of terminal, just wanted to highlight the works that are in there, which is this dark shaded area in there. So we are pushing out the terminal by 1.5 metres, which is to the end of the under eaves area, and just relocating the departure lounge gates to suit that, and the toilets will be going in that area in there. So as you can see, the actual works in terms of physical works to the terminal, apart from the operable walls and doors, a lot of which is there already, is we're trying to lightly touch the terminal. We're not trying to do too much in this stage plan, to be fair. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brett, timeline for the external work on the land side, that extension, is that waiting for the guys to come back to continue on with that
project? This is all part of the Jackson's contract, which we've extended to be finished for the 4th of April when the new Virgin International arrangements take place.
Yeah.
Although we have said to them, given obviously the short time frames, the priority is to do the airside area because that is what we need for compliance, and then the landside areas after that. But we're still looking for the whole lot probably mid-April.
Complete. Still working out night time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to have that completed before 4 April across the front.
Yeah. So I believe they're actually starting on site sometime next week to do some of the pre-works. We've got all the development approvals, the building permit should be issued, I think, by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the revised plans are in with OTS already, have been submitted as well.
So, Brett, clearly we will have this communicated well to the community and celebrate some more wonderful work out there. Is that right, Anna? I can't see
she's
you.
Gone.
She's gone.
She's down updating the website.
I think that's definitely important we all handle that.
We'll liaise with Anna on that and make sure that happens. Okay. Just in terms of infrastructure development, obviously with the expansion program, it's putting increased pressure on our infrastructure, and there's been a need to upgrade a number of the services, and some of it's actually fallen behind, so some of the upgrades is needed just to bring us up to standards, current standards. So the electoral ring main, we talked about the electoral ring main, and that all works there will be completed in June 2015, subject to any augmentation work we may need to connect the solar farm. But apart from that, that's it. Water, we're looking at December 2015, and sewer is looking at June 2016. Did you want to add anything to that, Janella?
I've already spoken a bit about the electrical, but the water and sewer projects are actually progressing really well. One of the high risks we associated with this project is the fact that we have to constantly liaise with Water Corporation, and there's 300 different steps you have to go through and get different approval points with them along the way. The consultants we've engaged to work on the design and go through each of those processes with Water Corp have developed a really good relationship with them, and it has been progressing really well, so we haven't experienced any kind of delays or hiccups with Water Corporation at all. So hopefully it continues that way, but it's certainly tracking very well.
Fantastic. Okay. Yep. And just to reiterate also, we have applied for funding on the National Stronger...
Regions Fund?
Regions Fund, yep. National Stronger Regions Fund, for 50% of that project. Hopefully we get the Guernsey on that. Do we know when we're going to
get? I think they make their decision in March, or they finalise their assessment in March, but we don't find out until May.
Okay.
So it's about $7
million. Just in terms of the GA expansion, there has been some changes in, I guess, requirements to that area, and there has been some questioning about the benefits of the original expansion. Plus we've had the international services to accommodate, and we've had to do some bad budget relocations. So that expansion is to be reviewed to make sure that the expansion, or whatever expansion we decide we're going to do, is appropriate for the growth of the airport. There has been some commentary around rotary wing aircraft and how we accommodate them. So we just need to consider it, airports, you know, things change in airports, and we've just got to consider whether the original proposal is still appropriate, or whether there is a more appropriate expansion that can be done down in that area. So that's yet to be undertaken, but that will be, I guess, part of something to be reviewed, is it fair to say, in the next financial year?
I think we'll review it this financial year, but have it scheduled
for next. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Has that been based on the users coming back to you and saying this is not suitable for what we need anymore? Or
no, it's been more based around that there's been some market feedback that we might see more chopper activity because of the oil and gas exploration. It's not that far from us, and we just need to consider that as to whether we need to spend the money elsewhere. So we just need to have a look at that demand. Interim improvements. So, terminal area expansion. Good news is it's finished. Stage one, anyway. Stage one was a long
except
time coming.
For the,
except for the mule.
The
mule. So maybe that's premature. But it was open. It was open. And the extended area was extended in January 2015. We actually got OTS approval, Office of Transport Security approval, on the 23rd of December, I think, from memory. Having said that, the contractor had gone on leave. And so we set that date as being the date for completion when they got back on deck. And it was literally only 2 days' work, I think, for them once they got back on the third tank.
Plus the finishing touches, to comply with the OTS requirements, just to identify
it. Okay, and screening equipment, when you go through there, you will see two lanes and you will see two sets of screening equipment. The screening equipment on the left-hand side has reached its use-by date, so we're not allowed to use it anymore, so there is a replacement program for the second lane. At this stage, the queues have substantially improved, and it's a much better operation through into the secure area. So it's been quite successful in terms of what we were trying to achieve, which was to get rid of that choke point by encouraging people to go through screening much earlier, to sit in the cafe, and obviously to expand that area so we could accommodate people as well. That's been very successful. And the second lane is being put in place for two purposes. One purpose, it can be used for screening stock while continuing to process passengers, so that anything that needs to go in the food and beverage cafe is not going to get in the way of screened passengers. And at peak times, we could, oh, actually three purposes, and at peak times we could man that screening area and create a faster screening experience for the volume of passengers that we might have. And a third one is as a backup. So if we have any issues with the screening lane, we can flick over to the other screening lane and continue to run the airport via that. The good news about all of that is with the purchase orders and the quotes that we've received, we're still going to do that under budget. So we have a $500,000 budget and we're going to do that under budget. Okay. Public art, terminal painting. The internal works have now been completed in that area. In terms of the public art and art installation, we did set up a panel to review the submissions that were received. We received three submissions. I guess one of those submissions was a really, really good submission. But having looked at what we could achieve in that area, and having looked at, I guess, some of the other areas of the terminal, it was decided by the panel to increase the scope artwork that we're going to get done. And we're looking at material that will now go on the terminal that can then be utilised in the new terminal development, so it'll actually be pulled off and utilised, and that'll be the same for any shade structures that we put up as well. The idea was that we could reuse that as well. So we've asked Ron to actually go back and look at an increased scope and to seek some further information and some further, quotations on an expanded scope of works. Janelle and I need to catch up on the budget on that as well, because we'll be looking to probably transfer from one budget to another budget so we maintain our current budgets, our CapEx budgets.
So Brett, just on that, I've requested Brett for the next three items to provide concepts and details to the airport committee members so that you guys are on board with what's happening out there and any comments and feedback you might want to make. Is that okay? You're fine with that? And also to bring back to the committee recommendations so that we can have discussion on it and make a recommendation to council for all of those works, because that's what we should be doing here. So yeah, comfortable with that?
Yes, no. We are going to catch up as a team on that, but it was clear that we will bring back to the airport committee any recommendations, concepts, designs for the artwork in terms of the shade sails or whatever shade structures we decide that will go across the front of the terminal. I'll just say that because it might not be shade sails now that we're thinking about the whole artwork and how that looks and what that looks like. We'll bring that back to the airport committee, and the same with the Verge. I've been promising that for a while. Concept plans around.
Is there a concept plan
for the landscape?
For the Verge, or what it's going to look like?
If I may, we have prepared a concept plan, and this was probably back in October-ish. Then when we were reviewing how that actually, interacts with all of the other civil works that will be happening with the rubbish bin compound, the pedestrian access points, the secondary exit lane to the short-term car park, and then in future where the model plane would be located as well. The intention was then very soon after that we were going to cross-reference all of that, those different pieces of work, and make sure we're not, having to do things that would be redundant in the future. Unfortunately, due to the terminal refurbishment taking a lot longer than we expected, that has been put on the side. So now we do have more resources on board so we can focus on that. Plus there's less work towards the terminal at the moment as well with the Jackson's contract. So yes, I know Brett is the one that kind of answers to you, and it's all through me that I'm saying sorry. we are definitely progressing with that one now.
So will we have something to bring to the next airport committee meeting?
Yes.
Can we put that on the agenda?
Good.
Sensation.
Thanks, Tim. And Janelle's just touched on the paths and the bin compound, and that's all part of that overarching look at the Virgin Terminal Works. They're all intended to be completed slightly after this financial year, I think, in terms of the some aspects of those works. But the intent was to try and get them all into this financial year.
Yeah, they'll all be delivered kind of piecemeal. But we need to look holistically how they all actually come together. So, but then once we've got the overall plan, then we can deliver them as we go.
Okay, other projects update. just some matters that don't often get, the airport committee doesn't often see, but we thought it was worthwhile that we tabled them to give you a bit of an update. There was the security fencing upgrade, and a request for tender is being prepared at the moment. And I'll defer over to you to maybe if there's any further detail, but I'll just run through them first, Janella. Access control and CCTV scope being developed with the new operations team. So what, where are they needed, and you know, make sure that clear lines of sight, etc.
So that one is, as I mentioned before, to tie in with the passback system in the near the screening point there as well. And this is a compliance issue, so we need to come up to date with new regulations on not only the terminal building itself and, you know, airside, landside access, but it's also all of the access points around the boundary fence where we have gates as well. So we need to make sure we're able to monitor who is using those gates. So it'll be a swipe card type system that, you know, you can either turn on and off if, you know, you want to have somebody not able to use it anymore, and also having CCTV at all of those access points as well, so you can monitor who's coming in and out. So that's a between the fencing upgrade and the access control, they're two quite large. I think there's about $2 million budget between those two projects this year.
They're part of compliance, though, aren't they? These are part of issues.
Yeah, these are matters we have to attend to.
Absolutely.
To be compliant. And the same with apron lighting. That's pending any changes to the apron extension. Not going to add anything to that, Janella, but basically, as soon as we touch those areas, we need to upgrade the lighting, because it's in terms of CASA requirements, no longer compliant. But they have what they call grandfathering arrangements, which means you don't have to upgrade them until you touch them, basically. And on the apron strengthening, those works, we've commenced works on the urgent repairs and on the aircraft parking positions. And then there's a request for tender being prepared for the remainder of the work that we'll be doing in those areas. Are there any questions?
Can we get any more information on the freight terminal?
Freight terminal. Once we know when we've got a approval for the commencement of the freight logistics zone, I will be preparing a request for proposal to go out to freight terminal cargo operators for build, own and operate freight terminal. That's going to happen early this year. So as soon as Genoa's team has booked in a date, I've got a program for when we're going to deliver the actual subdivision, then I'm going to go out to the market to try and find a freight terminal. So the intention with that is that not only will we be asking them for technically what size they want, we'll be designating an area of square metres and how it interfaces to the apron, but what we will be looking at is to get market information back from them as part of their proposal, so they can tell us what they expect the business to be, the size of their facilities. And what we'll do is we'll pick the best proposal based on the best business case.
And my other one was, you know, with the water and electricity and the sewer and that taking longer, I know Janelle has said it's pretty much getting on time there. Will that impede on anything more with Precinct 3, with the buildings going up there?
I don't think so on Precinct 3. That's because that's the Kingsford Smith Business Park precinct. I don't think there are any further delays with that. The issue, as you know, has been the water and getting stiffly the titles issued. I believe that's on track and that hasn't been any further delayed. The other projects that you're seeing there, that they're more for servicing of precincts one, yep. Two, well, principally one, but two as well.
If I can comment, all of the services into Kingsford Smith Business Park have been completed.
Oh, good. All right, thank you.
So, can I go around the table? Are there any questions for Brett? David?
No.
Julie? Brett? Lorraine? Chase? Okay. I just have one thing that I'd like to ask if you could bring back is give us an update on the Northwest Airport Forum.
Yes.
That's an annual event that we hold, and I've asked Brett to deliver some date options for that. So will you bring that back, or will you?
I'll start looking at dates and the potential agenda for that between now and the airport committee. We'll bring that back to the airport committee with an update on where we're at.
Cool. And the other thing is, committee, that was quite a long presentation, which is really good. But are you happy if Brett brings back a dashboard type program so that we just go through and it's all interim and he talks to certain ones that are relevant? Or are you happy for this format to continue?
I think for the sake of certainly the new people, that they probably need to have this way to like, you probably haven't seen the plans for the airport and still got lots of things going through your mind. And I think at this stage, there are two new members and possibly the third member might need to continue this way.
You're happy with how it is then?
Yes.
Great. All right. Thanks, Brett. That was great. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's move to page 12. Reports of the officers. Thank you, Janella. Item 11.1 from Corporate Services, 11.1.1, the Port Hedland International Airport Committee membership, community member resignation, with the officers' recommendation appearing below, that the Airport Committee, number one, thank Dr. King for the contribution he brought to the Port Hedland International Airport Committee during his time as committee member, and number two, recommend that the Council appoint Mr. Chris McMahon as a new committee community member to the Port Hedland International Airport Committee. Are there any points of clarification?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wonder, I was just looking through the confidential attachment regarding Mr. McMahon, and I have noticed that his address on the on his first page, on his CV, is actually has a postcode of 6064, which I did look up, and it's Alexander Heights in Perth. So I wanted to know, is he still a resident in the Pilbara, or does he fly in, fly out? And also, being currently involved with the user group at the Karapa Airport, I was just a little bit concerned that we may get lots of information from us going to Karatha, and I just think we're all a little bit, our airport's a little bit special here. So I just want those questions clarified.
Sure, Councillor Gilling. I'm happy to take those on notice to clarify those to you. With the comment that these Mr. McMahon's application was put through the panel. Those questions would have been addressed. And basically, we will get that clarification to you too. Any other points of clarification?
To add to that, if I may, sure. Is that, you know, this has been a process of coming up to another 12 months. So, you know, if we're waiting for clarification on that, it may mean that it may need to be laid on the table until that information comes back, because it's getting about 12 months since all this went out to get a new member.
Councillor Daniel, thank you for your comment. I won't be considering laying the matter on table. As I said to you earlier on, it is really important that we focus on the terms and reference of this committee, I'm understanding, and if that is your consideration for tabling the item, I'm happy to have somebody in governance go now and check his address and also check the second part of your question, because I'm sure that we can get that clarified now without needing to table the matter. So thanks, Joe, if you could action that would be great. Any other points of clarification while we wait for that information? Yes.
Sorry, through the chair. I'm just wondering, with point two, do we really need to have, on the recommendation, do we need to have another committee member, since we've only got like three or four airport meetings left before we go into caretaker mode?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Butson. I think that's a really relevant question, because the reality is I myself have made notes that there is actually only several meetings prior to the election that occurs in October, which means all of us resign and the whole committee is up for reappointment. So that could be a consideration as an alternative motion today, an alternative recommendation, which I believe the officers have said that there are other recommended recommendations for people for us to consider, and one of them is to not appoint another committee member. So, Director of
Madam Chair, my understanding is that governance have sought advice from Walga in relation to the process, and unfortunately we can't carry the vacancy through until we can't carry the vacancy through to the next ordinary elections of council. So the options are, one, the committee can either resolve on the appointment today. The two alternatives remaining is for an expression of interest process to be undertaken, looking at basically going through the advertising process again and shortlisting for appointment to the committee, or thirdly, changing the terms of reference to delete the vacant position. So They're the essentially the three options available to the committee.
Sure. So any other points of clarification?
One clarification on that, through the chair, is that Jason was our extra member that was put on when we voted last time, so he was put on as an extra community member. So because it was only really for the appointment of one when Brad and them went through it, but we actually put Jason down as an extra community member.
Director, that is a relevant statement.
Well,
excuse me. We had two members resign, Mr. Wally and Mr. Wilding, and these are the replacements for the member.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So through the chair, the composition of the committee would be as per the terms of reference in terms of elected members and community members, provided that those numbers are correct, which I presume that they are, then it needs to be a community member, unless the committee wishes to amend the terms of reference to alter the composition of the group. Yeah.
Sure. So I guess your advice is that we have the options to consider as recommended by the officers noted on page 12. And given that the panel has your ratings are here as part of page one of your confidential attachments to these airport, the next person rated by the panel is Mr. McMahon. So are there any other points of clarification? Okay, so I guess we'll just, do you want to hold standing orders for Councillor Gillingham's queries to be brought back to us? Or what would you like to do, Councillor Gillingham?
I just asked for points of clarification because I just needed to find out whether this person is still in the Pilbara, whether it's a fly-in, fly-out person, because the address says 6064 Alexander Heights, Perth.
Sure. Yeah, thank you.
So I've just been in touch with Mr. McMahon, and he said he is indeed a South Island resident. His resume hasn't been updated with the current address. He's been up here for 2 years, and he's on a five-year contract, so he said he's here to stay for quite some time.
Fabulous. Are you satisfied with that?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
That's good.
All right. Well, with that information at hand, I will ask for there to be the item to be put to ask for a mover for the recommendation as noted.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Seconder?
Thank
you. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Okay. Seconded by Mr. Polenko. Those against? Let the record reflect 7-0. Thank you very much. Well done, committee. Page 15, item 11.2, Office of the CEO, 11.2.1, the Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update as from December 2014 to January 2015, with the officer's recommendation that the Airport Committee note the Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update from December 2014 to January 2015, and all we need is a simple majority here. Are there any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Those against? Let the record reflect, 7-0. If we move to page 21 now, committee, item 11.2.2. The Port Hedland International Airport New Terminal Design Development Strategy, with the officer's recommendation as listed on page 21, that the Airport Committee note the proposed design development strategy for the new airport terminal building for the Port Hedland International Airport. Are there any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Seconded. Those against? Fabulous. Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, that was very well done. Okay, item 12, page 24 we are on. Item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member of the committee. There are nil. Item 13, motions of which previous notice has been given. There are nil again. Item 14, confidential items. There are nil. Item 15, applications for leave of absence for the next airport committee meeting, which is currently scheduled for the 1st of April, oh, what a good day, 2015. Do we have any applications for leave of absence?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Noting that this is only at committee level and you have to reapply at ordinary council meeting as
yes,
well.
That's right.
Okay, any others? Thank you. Okay, can I have a mover to accept that application for leave of absence? Thank you, Mr. Pulenko. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Those against? Let the record reflect 7-0. Okay, item 16. Now, for new members, you do have the opportunity to attend by telephone or instantaneous communications via video link. So if you anticipate that you're not going to be available for the currently scheduled meeting on the 1st of April, now's the time for you to advise. So is there anybody that will require that around the table? Okay, there is none so far. Thank you. Item 17, closure. 17.1, the date of the next meeting. The next Airport Committee meeting of Council will be scheduled for Wednesday, the 1st of April at 12:30 p.m. with a note, if I may, that a recommendation is being put to Council to reconvene these meetings to a monthly format. So, Joe, I'm looking at you for direction as to how we do that.
If you want to do it as a motion, because Council will have to consider changing in terms of reference of a committee, so you can put it up as a motion, move it, get second that, and then if everybody votes on it, it can go through to the February Council meeting for consideration.
So can I do that now, given that we've passed the...
yes, you can do it.
Okay, so can I put it to the committee that given what we're talking about and the role of the airport committee, that we consider reconvening the meeting formats to not bi-monthly but monthly? Happy to go around the table to have a discussion. Councillor Hooper, I know you're only a proxy, but it'd be interesting for your views. Councillor Hunt.
I think it would be very beneficial to go to the monthly meetings, yes.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
I agree. There's a lot going on, so you need to keep across everything that's going on.
Great. Councillor Watson.
Yep.
Jason?
Agreed.
Jack?
Yes, it's a good idea.
Fantastic. So can I have a mover to recommend to the ordinary, to council, that the airport committee reconvene their monthly meeting format. Sorry, Joe, did you want
to... Oh, just for the timing as well, is it still going to be 12:30 or would you like to consider...
Okay, so maybe we should... 12:30 is fine by everybody still?
Yeah,
the timing's
yes,
fine?
Time,
yeah, the time, 12:30 is good. The dates we will look at dependent. We will send out a meeting schedule date. Okay, cool. So we're happy to leave the meeting at 12:30 and the dates to be confirmed.
So starting from March?
From March, I think.
If the council agrees to it.
If the council passes it, we will put out a meeting schedule commencing March.
So it's up there that you've moved it.
I'm happy to move
from
it.
March 2015, excuse me.
2015, thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Those against? Let the record reflect 7-0. Thank you very much, committee. Appreciate your indulgence. Okay, so we will move and say that the next date of the next date for the airport committee will be early March to be confirmed, pending council's resolution to approve that. Okay, 17.2 closure. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 2:03, with many thanks to the staff and committee members for their input and contributions. So.